Hi, this is Andrew from the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I'd just like to let you know that the episode contains spoilers for Kenji Fukasaku's Battle Royale during the What We've Been Watching segment. Thank you and enjoy.
Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast, episode 6. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
This is Damian.
And this is Scott from WeAreMovieGeeks.com.
Which is apparently the best looking film blog, according to Douglas. Today I invited Scott so that, like, 2 weeks ago you got to go to Sundance for the first time, right?
Correct.
And I asked you on so you could talk about Sundance. We're also going to get into what we watched this week, newest trailers, and we'll be reviewing the new DVD release, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. Right? So, Scott, what about Sundance? How was it?
So I submitted my application about a week late. I didn't think that I was going to get in. And then on January 5th, they sent me my acceptance letter. And I really had no idea where I was going to stay. I planned on sleeping in the hotel lobby. Through the power of Twitter, I sent out a message. And Neil from Film School Rejects, Neil, if you're listening, thanks, man. He offered up their condo, so I crashed with those guys, which was Neil from Film School Rejects, Pete from Slash Film, and Alex Billington from FirstShowing.net. I watched all their Sundance coverage last year, so I knew I was going to be in for a treat with all the condo fights and Alex flipping out on everyone. Basically, you know, I was off on a new adventure. I had never seen more than like 2 or 3 movies in one day, and here I was about to go see 5 and 6 movies a day for 10 consecutive days. And I don't like I hate writing reviews to begin with, so the fact that I was writing 5 and 6 reviews a day was kind of tedious, but it was amazing. You know, it's indescribable. The things that you get to do and experience and the people that you get to meet. It's all of our dreams to be able to go and watch movies all day long and then party all night and not sleep and then fight with Alex Billington. It's just an incredible experience. I highly suggest anybody that writes or is a fan of movies goes to Sundance at some point. Somehow, whether it be press or paying for your ticket. If I stopped doing the site right now, I would go from here on out and pay for a ticket to Sundance every year because it's that incredible. But I saw a total of 31 movies. I wrote about 28 reviews. There were a couple movies in there that were just completely horrible and weren't even worth writing about. Favorite movie was World's Greatest Dad, which is the Bobcat
Williams, right?
Bobcat movie.
Yeah.
And it's probably the darkest movie I've ever seen in my entire life. There's points in the movie where you're sitting there saying, are they really doing this? Is this even really possible? I don't understand how... it's really incredible that Robin Williams signed up for the role and was willing to do some of the things in the movie. I don't want to say too much and ruin it for anybody if it gets released, but very, very dark film, but just an incredible piece of cinema. I can't say enough about how amazing it was. Bobcat did an outstanding job, but I don't know. I don't know what else to say.
Well, you talked about the movie you liked. What about the ones you didn't like? Which were the,
Spring Breakdown was a complete piece of garbage. It was absolutely horrible.
What's Spring Breakdown? Who's in it? Is there any
Note? I can't. I knew you were gonna ask that question. I don't even remember who was in it. I've never walked out of a movie in my entire life, and I walked out 30 minutes into this movie.
So it's not good.
Yeah, it was that bad. But it's, you know, it's a girl. It's going direct to DVD. They announced that before the movie even screened the first time. So everybody was kind of expecting very little out of it. But I read one really good review from somebody that saw it. But it has Amy Poehler, Will Arnett, Parker Posey, Rachel Dratch. The cast wasn't the bad part. It was just, I think, a horribly written script. and the premise was just really bad as well. But that was probably the worst movie that I attempted to see at Sundance. And then Toe to Toe was another pretty bad movie. It's marketed as a girls lacrosse movie, but it was kind of like a mixture of like Havoc meets Crazy Beautiful. And it's not good on either of those aspects. But those are the real crappers that I saw.
All right, there are a couple movies that I've heard about by following all of the blogs and their coverage that I'd like to ask you a little about. First of all, the one that won big time, Push. I honestly don't know anything about it other than people raving it won and that picture that goes up with every post.
I kept hearing about how great it was, and I planned on seeing it, but through the course of like all the other screenings and just trying to make it into everything, I missed out on seeing it. I'm a little disappointed that I didn't see it, but everybody that did see it has raved about it. They said absolutely brilliant movie.
Okay, another one was one that we mentioned in our emails, and I still left off the trailer because I hoped you would have said a little bit about it for this.
The Immaculate Conception of Little Dizzle?
Immaculate Conception of Lizzie. Douglas is raving about this trailer that was just released.
I wouldn't say I'm raving. I think it looks extremely interesting just from the trailer, and they have one still that is going around on most of the blogs that look great.
Right.
So I just think it looks really interesting. It's an odd little movie, and that's the type of thing I like.
It was... I don't want to say that it was a phenomenal film. I mean, it was very enjoyable on that almost B-movie level, simply because it has a very, very strange outcome to the movie. And I haven't seen the trailer, so I don't know what exactly it reveals. What does it reveal? And then I might be able to go a little bit further.
You know, that's a good question. I saw the trailer in the middle of the week. I could not tell you. But, oh yes, right. So, guy...
I really don't remember that much. I watched it the once. It showed that they worked as janitors,
right,
and they had cookies, and that's all I can remember.
Yeah, they're cookies.
Okay.
And the cookies caused some sort of, you know, intestinal flaws or something like that.
Basically they're working as janitors in this office building, and there's about 30 offices in the building, and one of the offices is a market research firm, and they are trying to create through a chemical the feeling of like a warm, fresh grandma's cooked right out of the oven, you know, where you bite into it and you get that warm feeling just like it came out of the oven. Well, they found a chemical that can help recreate that, so they sign up for testing, and then they're always being thrown in the trash, so they'll go through the trash, and if they find them, they'll just hoard them and they'll eat them all throughout the night. And it has a very strange reaction in the male and only in the male eaters of the cookie, and it sounds exactly what the title suggests, the Immaculate Conception. So if you think about that and what that really means, you'll kind of get an idea of what happens. You know, it's not like the Immaculate Conception of a baby, but their body does eventually produce something, and that something comes out of a very strange area. It's a very enjoyable movie. Vince Vallouf is in the movie, and I love him. He was in Grind, and he did some National Lampoon. It did Barely Legal. I don't know if you guys saw that, but I absolutely love him, and he's one of the central characters in the movie. So I think I enjoyed it a little bit more than everybody else simply because of that. But definitely a movie you're going to want to see just because of how very, very strange that it is.
Definitely like the description. Like, we read that now. I'm actually on the Sundance site here on my phone, and it says there's this movie. I don't know if you watched it, but the name is amazing. It's The Attack of the robot from Nebula 5. Apparently it's a Spanish movie. Did you see that one?
I did not make that one.
I don't know, just judging from the title, it sounds like something that I'd want to watch, even though it could be horrendously awful.
Right, yeah, there was a lot of very strange movies at Sundance this year. This is my first year, so I don't know how it was in the past, but a lot of people had mentioned that there was a very, very eclectic group of movies at Sundance. And strangely, there was a lot of movies dealing with clones. So I don't know what the theme of that was, but there were three or four movies that were about clones at the Sundance this year.
Like which movies?
Moon deals with clones. There's another one called The Clone Returns Home. I didn't catch that one. And then there was one more that dealt with clones too, but I don't know, it was just kind of weird that there were that many clone movies.
Oh, okay. All right, another film that we actually have seen a trailer for on the internet before Sundance, and I'd like to ask your opinion of, is Mystery Team. What do you think?
Mystery Team.
Yeah, did you get to see that one?
Absolutely, I did see that one. Mystery Team is... It was one... I'd never heard of the Derek Comedy Group. I never watched any of their YouTube videos that they put out, but I was very surprised at how great this movie was. Basically, there are three high school kids that are about to graduate and go to college, and when they were young, you know, 8, 9, and 10, they had this group called the Mystery Team, and they would go around solving like little neighborhood mysteries, like who ate the pie, or you know, who put the dog poop on somebody's doorstep, simple stuff like that. Well, over the years, they grew older and still were trying to solve the same mysteries, and it's kind of like there's a very Napoleon Dynamite feel to some of the characters, but in a much smarter way. You know, they didn't dumb it down as much. And definitely probably not a movie that you're going to want your kids to watch. I know a lot of kids watch Napoleon Dynamite, but the Mystery Team's more like older teenager, adult type audience. But the movie is just brilliant. The guys that did the movie and the producers and the directors and everything, they did a phenomenal job. I still don't think it's been bought. I think that it's a travesty, honestly. It was such a great film, and everybody that saw it at Sundance raved and just absolutely fell in love with it. So the fact that it's still sitting out there just is completely astonishing to me. But after I wrote my review, 2 days later, I was going to headquarters, and they have a little Starbucks kiosk in there, and I passed by the guys, and I stopped them, and talked to them for a minute, and they were like, "Hey, we loved your review." So I had them record a little video intro for my site, and they were very, very cool. We wound up hanging out with them at the closing night party, and then I got an email from their rep saying that they wanted to send a thank you note to me. So just the nicest people I've ever met, you know, in the film industry. You know, I can't say enough about them, and the movie is equally as great.
But just a quick question. What did you, if you saw it, think about Black Dynamite?
Black Dynamite. I've been representing Black Dynamite since a year before Sundance. I think that's the first time I got the first trailer came out, and it kind of fell under the radar, and they sent me a t-shirt, and then, you know, I interviewed Michael Jai White whenever it got announced that it was going to Sundance, and the movie... It's absolutely brilliant. The way that it looks, I mean, you would think that the movie was done in the 70s and got lost somewhere and is finally coming out. You know, there are scenes where you'll accidentally see a boom mic in the shot, and then, you know, Michael Jai White or Black Dynamite's looking up at the boom mic saying, you know, still trying to do his scenes, but obviously looking up at it. The martial arts are completely over the top and ridiculous, and the women, you know, It's everything that you would want a blaxploitation or any type of exploitation movie to be and more. It got bought as soon as it premiered, and for good reason. It's going to blow a lot of people away. I want to see it again, and I would have seen it multiple times if I had had time at Sundance, but just a fantastic film. The guys that did it were absolutely... they went above and beyond. The music, the editing, it looks just like a 70s movie. Like, the low budget, being broadcast at the drive-in theater with broken stills and everything. I would even go as far as to say that it was done better than the Grindhouse movie that Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez did as far as the look.
Whoa, and I have to say you...
Andrew, is that tier?
Yeah. So both myself and Andrew are huge fans of those movies. So.
I named my kid Quentin from after Quentin Tarantino, so yeah. He could pretty much do no wrong in my eyes. But the look, I think they achieved the look of the exploitation film better than Quentin Tarantino did.
All right. Unless there are any extra movies you'd like to promote, there are only two more I'd really like to ask about if you've seen them.
One sure.
Is Paper Hearts.
Paper Hearts. Paper Heart was... It was all right. I'm kind of over Michael Cera at this point. He plays the same character he plays in every movie. I know you guys are going to talk about Nick and Nora. You take that character, you mix it with the super bad character, his Juno character, and that's the same exact character that you get in this movie, except he's playing himself in the faux documentary. It's just kind of annoying, you know? He's just awkward, and if that's really how he is in real life, you know, I don't understand how anybody would want to try to date him. It gets on my nerves after a while. I love him in Superbad. I loved him in Nick and Nora, but, you know, he's supposed to be playing himself. I thought he would be just a tad bit different, but still equally awkward. Through the movie, you're not sure, because it's marketed as a documentary, and it's shot as a documentary, but it's not a documentary at all, you know? Michael Cera and her in the documentary meet and hook up through the making of it. They make you believe that this happened while they were making the documentary about falling in love and stuff, and that's not true. You know, they've been dating for a few years. You know, it was an enjoyable movie, but it gets annoying because I always butcher her name up. But the main girl, I can't even say her name.
Well, at least you have some sort of idea what her name is. I
Yeah, it's let me pull up my IMDb real quick.
Charlene Yee.
She's almost the exact. She is like a replica of Michael Cera, except the female version. You know, she's awkward and she has this weird laugh, and so it's obvious to see why they're perfect together. But when both of them are on screen, just you know, going back and forth, being just equally awkward, it kind of wears on you.
So we're disproving the rule that opposites attract.
That's correct. Yes.
One other film I'd like to ask if you saw and your thoughts. This is one that I can guarantee 100% that we will never see theatrically in Jamaica.
Okay.
And it's Hump Day. Did you see Hump Day?
Hump Day, yes. Everybody calls it a mumblecore. I don't really understand that statement or that description of the movie. Mark Duplass from Baghead and the Puffy Chair stars in the movie, and I thought that we saw this movie the second night of Sundance, and I really, going into it, I had no idea what it was. I hadn't seen a trailer. All I knew, it was about amateur porn, and if a movie has anything to do with porn, I'm there. So we went to see it based on that fact alone, but it's basically about him, you know, being recently married, and him and his wife are trying to have a baby, and his free-spirited friend just shows up randomly and through the course of a party and being really drunk and just altogether messed up, they decide that it would be a great idea for them to make an amateur porn to submit to a real amateur porn festival in Seattle called Humpfest. And basically the premise is that you create this amateur porn and it's got to be artsy, and it gets submitted, everybody screens it, at the end it's all destroyed. So they thought it would be artsy if two straight guys made love to each other on camera for some reason. And I'm sure, you know, you get to that drunk point where a lot of things seem like a great idea until the next day. But that's the premise, and the rest of the movie is them trying to make that happen. So they decide to have sex with each other on camera to submit to Humpfest. But the movie's great. Joshua Leonard, who plays the free-spirited best friend, absolutely phenomenal in the movie. Alicia Delmore, who plays the wife, she was equally as great. And it's going to be playing at South by Southwest as well. I'm really looking forward to watching it again because it was just a really, really great movie. I don't think it'll screen at any theater. I think it'll probably be just like a limited release, if that, and probably goes pretty quickly to DVD, which I'm fine with because I'd rather own the movie and watch it whenever I want than to have to go to the theater and see it.
Yeah, my sentiments as well. But I actually had one more question before we wrap up.
Sure.
But are there, or what are your films that you think probably won't see a wide release or even a, you know, small release that are that you would recommend, you know, that otherwise maybe people would not watch because they wouldn't go in?
Right. I cannot see how World's Greatest Dad would see a wide release. Just because of the subject matter that it deals with at points. I don't care how you see that movie. It's a must-see. Robin Williams, it's probably one of his greatest performances ever in his entire career. I think it was probably one of his greatest performances. Another great movie was a documentary called We Live in Public about one of the first internet pioneers, Josh Harris. The movie was brilliant. The way that she executes this documentary. She had 12 years of video footage for the documentary, and she throws it together. Andy Timoner from she did Dig in 2004. She won the Grand Jury Prize for documentary back then. She submitted this and won it again. So I think that speaks volumes on her ability as a director. She did an amazing job. And Josh Harris, if you haven't heard of him, go out and research him. The guy created – I mean, we wouldn't be able to have this podcast right now if it wasn't for what Josh Harris did in 1996 as far as the internet and video and audio goes. He revolutionized it all. I don't think you'll see a wide release of that just because most documentaries won't get a wide release like that. We talked about Mystery Team. I don't know if it's going to see a wide release. I hope that it does. I'll go out and see it four times if it means that they're going to get more money for it, because everybody involved with that project is just very high class and very great. There was a short film that was called – it's called Blindness of the Woods that played before Spring Breakdown, and that's the only reason I was happy to see it. But it's very interesting. All the characters in the movie kind of look like Cabbage Patch dolls, but they're grown. And, there's some very risque sex scenes in the movie, and it's just funny watching grown Cabbage Patch dolls, have sex and, go at it pretty crazy. The new Steven Soderbergh movie, we got to screen, The Girlfriend Experience with Sasha Grey, the porn star. There wasn't a lot of like sex or nudity in the movie, so it could entertain a wide release. I'm not sure that it will, but it was great. It would definitely be worth seeing as well.
Okay, so Sundance overall, as you said earlier, it's a must if you can.
Oh, absolutely! If you can make it down to Park City, sleep outside, camp out somewhere. However you have to do it, make it down there. Bring a couple thousand dollars with you if you don't get a press pass, because you're gonna want to see a lot of movies, and it's a must for any movie fan. I don't care, even just the general movie fan that isn't even a movie geek should definitely go and see some movies, see them with the director and the audience, with the cast, watch the Q&A afterwards. It's just a great experience overall. I mean, everything about it is just an awesome experience.
Okay, so we're going to move into what we've been watching this week. And Damien, what have you been watching?
I saw Sex Drive this week. It's pretty awesome. I thought that movies like the American Pie, that genre, they were done. I thought they had made it for all that they could, but this movie too. There's still some life with it. That thing was great, the story that they told. It was just a really fun movie, and I'm glad that I saw it. Douglas recommended it, so I watched it. I also saw Towelhead, Douglas's recommendation again. I was not a fan.
I recommended Towelhead to you?
Nice.
No. I may have said that I watched it and felt extremely awkward throughout the movie. But I don't think I recommended it to anybody.
It's not that I was uncomfortable, it's just that the movie didn't really go anywhere. I mean, the child was abused, and then she was abused some more, and then some more, and then the movie kind of ended. So I don't know what they were trying to go for with that movie, but I don't know. Something I didn't get into that movie.
Oh, you know what I might have said? I might have said that Aaron Eckhart was really good in it, which I think he was. But the movie on a whole,
All right, but the one movie that I want to highlight and hope that everyone gets to see at some point, it's a movie called Hunger. I heard about this movie a long time ago on Film Spotting. They were talking about the lead performance. But this movie is fantastic. You need to buy this DVD. You need to hunt it down. The movie is so good. I like how the director didn't try to overdo it with exposition. It starts out in a prison. It's a movie about a prison hunger strike. So it doesn't tell you why the guys are in prison. There's some information at the start, like they have some words on the screen, but it's not enough to give you any real backstory. But by the end of the movie, the movie is just so impressive. Please, I don't know how you're going to watch it out here. You just need to watch this movie.
I saw Hunger a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to fall asleep. I mean, I found a lot of it very interesting, and I found especially when they got to the huge dialogue scene, you know, 20-25 minutes, no cuts, just one take. I thought that was awesome, but at the same time, I wanted to fall asleep so quickly during that movie. It was boring.
There's truly something wrong with you now. I don't know how to express this. And she's a crazy person and should not be listened to at any point. The movie, I think I know why Andrew doesn't like the movie. It deals with history, and Andrew has a big problem with movies that...
Wasn't the comment at the end of Valkyrie that you said you were like, oh, he killed himself? Was that you?
I'm going to let you guys go on that one. Have fun.
Andrew, you wanted to fall asleep? At which point? The point where they were beating him so that he'd take a bath? Right? I mean,
hey, slow down there, man. I haven't seen this one yet.
No, but it's a prison.
It's a horrible prison.
They beat you for a lot of things. But Andrew said that the exposition section is about 30 minutes, it's one take of two guys having a conversation. Andrew said he enjoyed that part. But everything outside of that is, you know, there's some amount of action involved. So I don't see where Andrew was falling asleep.
I think it's a movie that I can appreciate for what it achieved and the filmmaking. But at the same time, it's not something I want to watch again. And that's the thing about it.
I don't know how to answer because the movie is just so well done. The story is so well done. And the lead actor, I don't know how they got him to look like that by the end of the movie. But you guys need to see it. If you thought that Christian Bale in The Machinist was look odd, then you need as they had to put a bracket over him so that they could put the sheets over him because his body couldn't sustain the weight of the covers. That is how, I mean, by the end of the hunger strike, you're so sorry for this man. Even if he was wrong, you'd have allowed him to get away with whatever it was. I mean, the movie is so well done. I don't know what version of the movie Andrew watched, but it clearly wasn't the same version.
Okay, Douglas, what have you been watching this week?
Well, this week, what did I watch? Let's see. I saw part of 24 the other day.
Ooh.
Oh, I watched a horrible movie. Oh, The Blues Brothers. I saw that.
Yeah, and I got a post about that on the site, Junior Reviews. Which, of course, no one read.
I know. I'm very annoyed. But yeah, no, I don't like the movie. Well. I've been watching that. Transporter 3. Love that movie.
That movie is awesome. I believe it's... I personally think it's the best of all the Transporters.
No. I have to step in here.
Which one are you, number
second
one?
Second one, he flipped a car and yes! took a bomb off the bottom.
And that's
part two. You cannot. That can't be topped.
Part two was just too ridiculous and too stupid.
Unless he launched the car into outer space in part three, there's just no way.
Yeah. And I think actually, no, my favorite film for the week was The Lycans, Underworld Part 3.
Yeah, we went and we watched Underworld 3. Really good, yes. I actually gave it a semi-positive review.
Well, it was honestly, it wasn't an awful movie.
You guys don't like the Underworld series?
Not really.
I enjoyed it.
I didn't like the first one, I didn't watch the second, and I just felt like going. So
you know, my problem was, I did watch some of the second, which means I knew everything that happened in the third, because it's in the second movie, they tell the story.
Don't they tell it in the first one? I kind of remember them talking about it.
I don't know. I watched a little bit of the first one. Don't remember that. Okay. The second one, they definitely go deep into the story.
Yeah, they talk a lot about the what would happen in the third movie. Because I saw that movie last week. And my sister loved the Underworld series. We went to see it. I mean, if you like the series, you'll like the third one.
Yeah,
that's basically what
some
I said.
Decent action. The CG...
This week I decided to go backwards in time and I went and I watched Roman Polanski's Chinatown for the first time. This is amazing, starring Jack Nicholson and Faye Dunaway. It's about a private investigator who gets hired to do a job and in turn finds out something deeper going on in society. And everything about it is great. I mean, I still haven't gotten around to watching the Roman Polanski documentary that came out last year.
I saw that.
Right? But, like, I know the basic story of Roman Polanski and what's happened to him. And when I see a movie like this, like, this is, I think, the first movie by him I've watched. I kind of go, like, where's another one? I want more. Like, can we, like, low him up and... let him do some more movies, because if I get things like this, I'll be happy. But at the same time, I remember what he did, and I say,
he's kind
never.
Of criminal.
But yeah, this movie is something everyone should watch. Jack Nicholson is one of my favorite actors. he's amazing in it. I mean, I remember seeing the picture online when I searched for it of him with the bandage on his nose, and it looked so ridiculously hilarious that I thought this movie was going to be a comedy. But it's just, it's something that got into me after a while. Like, I decided I had to watch it again after, and I watched it a second time right after, and it was even better. Right? So if you haven't seen this movie, you have to watch it. And two other movies I watched this week that I want to mention. There's The Tracy Fragments, the movie by Bruce McDonald, I think his name is, with starring Ellen Page. And this movie was weird, right? I mean, I will watch anything with Ellen Page. And this movie gave me a really different light in things. Like, it's like, what it did was, like, anytime the movie was shown, everything was in boxes. Everything was fragmented. Like, alright, why are you guys laughing? I'm very confused.
Just keep going, keep talking, you know. Don't worry about us.
Fine over here.
I'm very worried. The Tracy Fragments, it's a story about this girl who loses her brother, and she's going around to search for her little brother, and at the same time she meets all sorts of people and gets into all sorts of crazy scenarios. But the greatest thing about this movie is actually how it's presented. Every scene is broken up into fragments. Like, you'll see 10 different angles for one scene, all in the same shot. So, like, if there were 4 shots, the screen would be broken into 4, and you'd see, like, her face, her hand, the guy on the left, and his hands and stuff. And it wouldn't always be in sync, but at the same time, it would make sure that you wouldn't get distracted by having to watch one and miss what would happen in the other, if you can understand what I'm saying. And I think it's a movie that everyone should try and watch if you like film and if you like interesting movies that are different from the norm. It's something that was different, and even though I wouldn't give it a perfect rating, I think it's really interesting. And one other movie that I got to watch this week was Battle Royale. For the first time, I sat down and I watched the first Battle Royale.
Oh yeah, this I remember movie, watching that in college. That was quite the movie.
This movie is grade A awesome, right? Like, I love Japanese films, but I had never seen anything like this. They just decide to tell the children, here are weapons, go and kill everybody. I mean, it was kind of annoying that, you know, people who got the lamest weapons actually ended up being the winners. Sorry for spoiling, but crazy. And and it was just great from left to right. Even though it's campy and it's ridiculously stupid, it's fun. And after watching serious movies all week, I was happy to watch a fun movie.
I have, like, now that you brought up Battle Royale, have you guys seen the trailer for Chocolate? The Ong Bak guys are doing a new movie with this little girl.
I love that movie. I've seen that movie. Right. That movie is awesome.
The movie's old? Chocolate?
The movie's pretty old, I think. How long ago did it come?
I think it's like a year old in Thailand or something.
Yeah.
I haven't. Well,
it's one of those things, it's almost like Taken. It just hasn't come out in the States yet.
Okay. Well, I need to.
No, it just came out in the States.
Right, yeah.
This
week.
Well, I just saw the trailers and I need that movie. That movie looks fantastic.
hold on.
No, nothing.
Because if you're sitting around this time,
there's nothing wrong, Andrew.
Okay, alright.
Andrew's being very self-conscious right now. He thinks we're laughing at him.
No, alright. Alright, back on. Scott, was there anything special this week you'd like to mention?
Because I went to Sundance, I missed out on the initial opening of My Bloody Valentine 3D, so I went and saw that this weekend, this past weekend. Great movie. Only see it in 3D, though. It's not going to be worth anything on DVD. And then I saw Push, not the Sundance Push, but the new superhero-style Push. It was pretty good, you know? I mean, It wasn't amazing. It was better than Jumper, in my opinion.
Setting the bar real high.
No, it's not. But honestly, I like Jumper. If it's better than Jumper, I'll be all for it.
Hey, I like Jumper too, but I think mostly because I'm a fan of Rachel Bilson.
What was the worst part of the movie?
The worst part of Jumper is Rachel Bilson?
Yes, pretty much. Her relationship with whatever the hell
you
is
You sound
named.
Like you disagree there, Scott.
I mean, Sam Jackson...
I think I just had a soft spot for her in the OC, and I just lost 6 followers because I even said that. I watched the OC. I used to watch it, and I really liked Rachel Bilson. So everything she's in, I see for one reason or another. But no, I mean it's similar to Jumper, except they have more than just like the one power of traveling. Some people, did any of you guys get to see it this week?
No, actually, it comes out here on Wednesday, so we're hoping to go next week.
Yeah, and, awesome. I'm hoping to convince Damon that that's what we review next week.
Sure.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's worth seeing. It's a pretty enjoyable flick. Dakota Fanning will absolutely shock you in the movie, because I still see her as being like 6. And she's kind of growing up now, so it's kind of weird. But we have a quote somewhere for the movie floating around in the advertisements. So if you guys see it, make sure you let us know, because we have no idea what it's on or where it's going to be.
If I see it, I'll let you know.
Yeah. Awesome.
About Dakota Fanning, have you seen this movie Hound Dog?
I have not.
Oh, okay. I was just going to ask what you thought of her in that, but never mind.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen her anything recent. For her to be like 13 or 14, it's kind of weird, and she curses twice in the movie, so that's kind of shocking as well. But I thought she did a really great job. I was pretty impressed. Typically, if it has Dakota Fanning in it, I'm like, oh, okay, it's gonna be really kid friendly and possibly boring. But you know, I haven't seen Hound Dog, so I can't make a judgment on that. But you know, it was a good movie. We did a video podcast on it afterwards, discussing which powers we would like to have if we were in the movie. It's definitely worth seeing. I enjoyed it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that video podcast. It was good.
Thanks, man.
Especially you editing out all of the Best Buy dudes advertising. Where was it?
Yeah, we went to Best Buy to pick up Zach and Mary Make a Porno, and they had to we couldn't record them checking us out, and a couple other things, but crazy stuff happens whenever you're on scene, on location doing video podcasts.
Alright, so what happened was, he did a video podcast, right? And in the beginning, like, he was going out to buy Zack and Miri, was it?
Yes.
And he went to the shop, and he got permission from the people to record whilst in the shop.
Right.
And while he was picking up the DVD, a sales rep or someone comes over and decides to try and advertise something going on in the shop. And as he's walking off with the sales rep, and he obviously goes and gets into a huge discussion about something, you just see the video cut to the end. Or to the next thing, and you don't find out about this thing.
Yeah, he was trying to pitch us to buy DirecTV, to switch over from our cable company here in St. Louis to DirecTV, and he could his deal wasn't nearly as good as what we were getting. So, you know, at the beginning, he was like, "I guarantee you, I'll get you a better deal," and then he couldn't guarantee us that. So, just completely random, you know. You never know what's going to happen, so I try to go with it just in case it's interesting, and it wound up being completely boring. So,
okay.
I guess it happens.
Yeah, it happens.
And for anyone interested listening, you can find that video podcast at wearemoviegeeks.com.
Yes, and also on iTunes, if you just search for We Are Movie Geeks, you can subscribe to our video podcast.
Okay. I wanted to go through a few news items. The first one was, they've announced, I don't know if this was around before, but I didn't know, they're doing a film adaptation of the Shakespeare King Lear, and Al Pacino has been announced to star in it. Like, can he find anything better to use his voice for? Because that's all he is to me now.
Just the voice?
Just that crazy, deep-throated, "I'm gonna kill you" voice Al Pacino loves to use.
Yeah, because he's decided that he's going to be over the top in any movie he does.
I'm glad that he's a scientist. I actually like that Shakespeare play, but if Pacino is starring in it, then I won't need to see it because it's going to be bad.
Yeah, no. Have you seen, by the way, his documentary about searching for Richard III?
I don't even know. What the hell is that?
He has done Shakespeare before, and Richard III is one of them, and he did a documentary on him doing Richard III, and I didn't watch all of it, but the part that I saw was him doing one of the...
You have any thoughts on this, Scott?
He's just released a line of really crappy movies, you know, 88 Minutes, Righteous Kill. I've kind of lost all respect for him, you know. I mean, he's just, I don't know if he's just picking bad movies or this is all he's being offered, but if he releases another bad movie, he just needs to call it quits. He needs to hang it up and just... maybe he should step behind and do some directing or some producing or something. He just doesn't have the same draw for me that he used to.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this guy used to be top of the top.
Absolutely. I mean, he was one of the most respected actors in Hollywood for the longest time just because he did really quality films. And now, you know, I think, like, just in the 2000s, I mean, in the new millennium alone, he's released just a string of really crappy, just unwatchable movies.
Yeah, I think the only one that I didn't mind him in was Ocean's 13, and that was, what, how long ago was that?
That was like 2 years ago, I think. How long ago was it?
It was a long time.
Ever since Heat, everyone has had Pacino and De Niro as more or less the best partners you could have because their catalog is some of the best movies people have seen. And when Righteous Kill came out last year, everyone is hyped to see it because of they actually get to act together, right?
I was not part of
it. It became one of the worst movies of 2008. Now, I don't know if I'm the only one in the room. Like, as we've already said, Al Pacino has wasted his career for the last 10 years or so. De Niro, I find, has done a ton of great movies, and I don't know if it's luck of the draw that he's been able to get into good movies or the fact that he's doing a lot more work behind the scenes, like, for example, with The Good Shepherd, he produced and directed it.
Yeah, I was actually about to say, he kind of generates that thing to himself. First, he picks the movies well, he's tried not to fall off with the movies he has, and he's done a couple of lemons here and there. Generally, he's done good stuff. And, he directed and produced The Good Shepherd, which I thought was amazing. Andrew, on the other hand, didn't like it too much when we watched it the first time.
I thought it was good, it was just slow as all.
But you love Zodiac.
Yeah, you love Zodiac.
I'm not falling in love.
This is reminiscent of the crank argument.
Do you remember what movie is his number one movie of 2008?
Yeah.
Or is it number three? I still can't, you know, remember. Yeah.
Let the Right One In is the best of 2008. But whatever.
Why is it the best of 2008? Is it the best because it's the best? Or is it the best
we are not repeating this conversation.
You don't want to get in an argument later on.
We're not repeating this conversation. If you want to hear us talk about that, you can listen to episode one of the podcast. Right? But, like, what do you think? Is it, like, as Douglas said, is it that De Niro generates this quality, or is it that he's just been lucky? What do you think?
I think that De Niro realized that he doesn't have to be the leading man in every movie he does. He realizes that he's been the leading man for so long that now it's time for him, you know, to take a step back and just do roles that he's most suited for. Look at what he did with Stardust. I mean, if you offered that to Al Pacino, he would have probably have hit you in the face. There's no way he would have done that role. But De Niro realized that, you know, yeah, it could be, you know, a nice, fun little role for him to do. And he did it. It made the movie so much better, you know, for his little performance. And I think that's where the difference is. He realizes, you know, he's more suited for certain roles. He can still be a leading man, but he doesn't have to be. But Pacino has to be. He doesn't know how to turn it down or turn it off. Pacino is just so over the top. So ridiculous. There's just, like, what role do you see Pacino in now that you say, yes, that's a suitable role for him? He's just become such a complete joke that I really don't want to see it anymore.
What do you think of this, Scott? Pacino De Niro.
I don't know. I mean, Stardust was great. But I wouldn't go as far as to say that he's really... Because, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Hide and Seek. Meet the Fockers, not really a big fan of. Analyze that. City by the Sea, I really liked. But outside of that, he hasn't done a whole heck of a lot of great movies since the new millennium. It's really just... You know, The Good Shepherd was obviously a great movie, but I can maybe see three or four good movies in the 15 that he's done since, about 15, 16 movies since he's done since the 2000. I think he's not nearly as much as Pacino, but I still think he's kind of fallen off just a little bit as well.
All right, I'm not saying he didn't fall off, because, I mean, no one can deny the difference of quality of his acting between Raging Bull and Meet the Fockers.
Right.
But just so we can clarify, right, all his movies he's done since 2000, right?
Right.
Men of Honor, Meet the Parents, 15 Minutes, The Score, Showtime, City by the Sea, Analyze That, Godsend, Shark Tale, Meet the Fockers, Hide and Seek, The Bridge of San Luis Rey, The Good Shepherd, Stardust, What Just Happened, and Righteous Kill. Just out of those that I've listed, I can count five that I like very much. I mean, people are going to say I'm just a guy who likes these kinds of movies. I liked Men of Honor. I loved Meet the Parents. I loved The Score. Analyze That was great.
Analyze That was not.
Oh, I'm just mixing them up. Okay, you're right. Analyze This was 99. So Analyze That was just okay.
Yeah, it was good. It was alright.
I love The Good Shepherd. I like The Good Shepherd, and I realize what it's good for. I love Stardust.
Right.
He's done a good amount, and I'm sure if I
like
switch
Shark
over
Tale
to
too.
I'm sure if I
son.
Switch over to Al Pacino and I list off his movies since 2000, we're gonna have a much shorter list.
Hey, you
for
want me to
actually
have it up on my phone here? Okay, so we're starting off with 2000 with Chinese Coffee. I don't know what that is. We've got Insomnia, which a lot of people like, but I didn't. Simone.
Oh, that's crap.
All right, we've had enough. All right.
We've got People I Know.
Oh, word, Simone.
The Recruit. A Spectacular Story. There's Geely.
I'm sure you can hear the sarcasm in his voice.
Angels in America. I don't know. I didn't watch that one, but that's an HBO movie. Those usually are okay. Merchant of Venice. Two for the Money.
He takes his shirt off, by the way.
Yes, he does.
Matthew McConaughey.
88 Minutes. Ocean's 13, which we mentioned earlier, wasn't too bad. Righteous Kill. Oh, that was 2007. So two years ago,
I'm right.
Righteous Kill, and then Heat the Video Game.
Oh.
I tried to block out Simone out of...
let alone Giggly.
Oh, no, Geely is bad, right? But we knew that going in. I didn't know that Simone was going to be a travesty. That movie, I mean... The reason I wear glasses now is because of that movie. I had 20/20 vision, saw that movie, and now I'm blind. Because the movies, my movies, as if I sat down and saw that movie with my mother, and my mother had the common sense to get up and leave. She knew the movie was rubbish and walked out, and I, like an idiot. Oh, that movie's bad. Wow.
Okay.
Thanks, Pachi.
Alright, so is there anything else you want to add to that, Scott?
I agree with Pacino, and I think you could even go back further than just 2000 and continue naming the crappers that he's put out. But I don't know. They just have this. They're still going to continue to get cast in movies that might be good if somebody else had done them. I've kind of lost.
Are you saying that Righteous Kill could have been good with a different lead actor?
I don't know.
All right, never mind. Moving on.
You don't need that.
I'm saying that some of the movies, 88 Minutes, could have been better if it had somebody else besides him in it.
80 Minutes not have been better. No matter who was in them, that movie was terribly written. And it made no sense. He was bad in it, but he was the reason that movie was bad. That movie was bad long before Pacino had anything to do.
But, I mean, at this point, like, they're going to continue signing on for projects, and the projects are going to be hyped more than normal simply because the fact that they're in it, and they're a big draw name. And I think that both of them should probably step back and start really, really, really being picky about the roles that they take. Definitely Pacino more than De Niro, because he's released some decent movies in the last 9 years.
You just said Pacino more than De Niro, if I heard right.
Pacino needs to be more selective and picky about what he chooses over De Niro.
Oh, okay. I think I misunderstood that one. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next piece of news. We announced a couple weeks ago that Mickey Rourke was going to be in Iron Man 2, but apparently, according to Robert Downey Jr., and I think there was an actual press release, that he won't be in Iron Man 2.
Or at least, no, not as the character. But, so he might still be in it. I think that's how they were wording it, that no, he is not this person. And then when they asked him another question, they said, oh, so is he going to be the second villain? Then he said, I cannot confirm or deny that. So, you know. So I don't know if he's out of the movie completely, but it doesn't sound like he's going to be the villain that we all thought he was going to be.
So, like, does this change your wish to see Iron Man 2 at all? Because, I mean, everyone seemed to have enjoyed the fact that Mickey Rourke was going to be in the movie. Scott, what do you think?
I love Mickey Rourke, and I think that with the success of The Wrestler and the other things that he has going on, you know, the Informers was completely horrid. It was a god-awful movie that I saw at Sundance. Not his fault at all, but that was the reason I wanted to see it, and I think that's the reason a lot of people are going to go see it. That and Amber Heard is naked in all but one scene of the movie. I don't know. I'm afraid that he's going to be taking on too many projects, and he's going to be overexposed, you know, and people are going to start he's going to fall off. His name's going to not mean as much. But it doesn't change how my want to see Iron Man 2, you know. I wanted to see it as soon as I watched Iron Man 1. I wanted to see what was going to come of it. I am upset that they're going to be cutting salaries. You know, if they really did only offer him $200,000 to be a villain, I think that's completely ridiculous. But him being in the movie won't change whether or not I see it.
You know what, though? I can tell you that Emily Blunt not being in the movie makes me want to see it more. And I just got punched in the face by Damian.
That's what happens a lot during this podcast, which is why I sit the furthest away from all of them. Okay, so Damien, any thoughts on Iron Man 2 and the lack of Mickey Rourke?
I'm not watching Iron Man 2, because I only saw Iron Man 1 in hopes that Mickey Rourke would be casted for Iron Man 2. Who is going to see Iron Man 2? I don't care if Mickey Rourke is in it. As long as they have more action and less chatter, the movie's going to be awesome. Andrew, you know I want to see this movie. Why are you asking me this question?
Alright, do you have any thoughts on, like, what you want from a villain in Iron Man 2? Because we already saw the horrible villain that was in Iron Man 1.
As long as they don't do what they did The same trap that Superman Returns fell in, where they have one man fighting someone that at no point the fight would be fair, as long as they have somebody else that Iron Man can fight. Or if it's not one person, then an army of something that he can, you know, that he can fight. He needs a challenge, so that there is, you know, more action. The villain in the last one was subpar. We really need a better final fight than that, but I'm sure they're working on it. I'm sure they've already thought of ways and thought of characters from out of the comic to hit him again. So I'm just hoping that he has someone to fight, a real villain, someone menacing that, you know, people, so that people can cheer for Iron Man to win.
Yeah, I suppose that's, you know, good.
Okay, seems like there's nothing more to add there. They could announce that Al Pacino would be in it. We'll all go watch Iron Man 2.
No.
I'm not sure about that one.
That's pushing it.
All right, another news item there. Apparently there's an Ernest Hemingway biopic in development. We talked about biopics with Dave from String Geeks last week on what is the first and hopefully the last lost episode of
that
the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
It was. I think it was, you know, the crowning, the Tour de France of this.
We'll never be that good again.
I'm sorry, okay?
Can I tell you, I walk into this room, right? And Andrew he's crying. He's huddled in a corner and just, you know, shedding tears.
Yeah, I saw that picture. It was...
Yeah. And I look at the computer and he actually asked me to just say the things that I said again. We almost, you know, had like a recut version of the episode because he wanted us to do, you know, voiceovers again.
The O4 podcast. It's truly remarkable.
I'm sorry. Okay, let's move along. And, is there any interest in Ernest Hemingway, a biopic for Ernest Hemingway?
First of all, Andrew, because you're the history major here. Who is Ernest Hemingway?
He's a famous author.
What did he write?
Lots of books about Africa. That's all I really can remember.
Name
I watched
one.
I read one like 3-4 years ago, and I was so bored reading it.
Let's watch this.
Is there anything that you have to say on this, Scott?
I have very little information about Ernest Hemingway. I think that they're scraping to find people to do biopics for, simply because they're typically pretty popular. I mean, you look at the Ray Charles and Walks the Line, Johnny Cash. I think that they just need to find more interesting people that people care about to see biopics on. You know, seeing an Ernest Hemingway biopic kind of sounds boring. You know, I think I'd probably fall asleep.
I don't know.
It could be great. I have no idea, but it doesn't really interest me at all.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be, you know, if they did it well, it would be good in terms of, you know, the acting. I think I agree with you where they're just looking for people to do because, for example, Ernest Hemingway is this huge, huge author. So you know once you get a semi-decent film production going, you're going to gross millions.
Right. I agree that they need to do more interesting people. I would say people like Bob Marley, you know, There's people out there that...
Martin Scorsese is doing a film on Bob Marley.
Yeah, he is. Right. But I think it's important that, you know, they do biopics on people like...
Yeah, so they do biopics on...
On people like Ernest Hemingway. I'm definitely a big fan of his books. Back when I used to read years and years ago, I read a couple of his books. Unlike Andrew, I didn't find them boring. I found them quite interesting. I'm hoping that they do justice to him. I'd like to know more of his backstory. So, kudos to whoever greenlit Ernest Hemingway.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, Joaquin Phoenix cannot.
He's busy in his rap career,
which may or may not be a hoax.
All right, we need a new rule. We'll never talk about Joaquin Phoenix on this podcast.
I'm skeptical.
What if we decide to review his last movie, Two Lovers?
Unless he cures cancer, this is it. This is the last podcast that we
can talk about JPZ anymore.
No
JPZ.
No.
I want us to review Gladiator next week.
No.
All right, whatever. So basically, we just want to hear more before we give a verdict on whatever.
No, I'm pretty interested. I'll go see this. Let me get the DVD or watch it.
Okay, next piece of news. Daniel Day-Lewis and Benicio Del Toro are going to star, or I don't know if this is confirmed, but they may star in the new Scorsese film Silence.
Did he steal this from another Japanese person?
No. This is this one has not been made into a film yet, as far as I know.
Are you sure?
I mean, I don't know much about this book, but Scorsese, Daniel Day-Lewis, and Benicio Del Toro all in one project. Just give me the ticket now.
Give them the Oscar now.
yeah. Don't even wait for it to get into production.
Right. It doesn't even have to be made. You can just hand them the Oscar now. You guys are thinking about making the movie. Here's your Oscar. Let's just move on.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank the Academy. But yeah, no, I'm extremely excited just for the same reason that Andrew was saying. These three people, they have just been spectacular over the years. And I don't even need to know what it's about. I actually don't know what it's about. I'm there. Damien, your take?
I want to see Che first so that I have... I need to see his last movie. I really am interested in seeing that movie because I know a lot of the history of Che Guevara. So I want to see that movie before I see this new... What are you guys doing?
we're disrupting Damien's thought by actually looking at the chat.
Yeah, we walked into his eyeline.
What? Oh, yeah, whatever I mean. Right. We need to move.
Don't tell me you don't get that one. Okay, all right.
Okay.
I didn't want to mention it because I think it's going to get boring after so long, but whatever. Another piece of news, which I'm really psyched about. The person who made Bond awesome, Martin Campbell, is going to
Daniel
be...
Daniel Craig?
No.
Yeah,
Martin Campbell.
Daniel Craig.
Martin Campbell made Bond awesome. Is going to direct...
All of you Bond haters,
a
Bond
Green Lantern
is good.
Film. I mean... As I said when I moved back, I'm tired to repeat myself, but Quantum of Solace was not good, right? All the Pierce Brosnan movies were not good, except for GoldenEye. So we have GoldenEye and Casino Royale, and guess what? Martin Campbell directed both. So there must be something about him and how he did Bond, which is why I say he made Bond awesome again.
By the way, can I tell you, I ordered GoldenEye for Christmas, before Christmas, when I ordered Christmas presents. I still haven't gotten yet. I hate Amazon. What the hell?
Hurry up. Did you just say you hate Amazon?
Yes, I hate Amazon. Because I ordered from them. What month are we in? February? About 2 or 3 months ago.
Alright, no.
And
no,
it still hasn't
no.
been shipped.
You guys shouted at me during episode 2 when you said something bad about Slash Film and I said I would edit it out. But I hope we can agree so that Amazon doesn't hear this, we can edit this out.
Who cares about Amazon?
Because I don't want them to mess up whatever packages I have them send me coming up.
Hey, I just placed an order with them a while ago. Come on, man. It's just annoying. They need to get my movies to me on time.
Scott, what do you think about Martin Campbell and possibly a Green Lantern movie?
I love Martin Campbell. I think he did. GoldenEye, of course, was my favorite Pierce Brosnan Bond movie. Outside of that, I think he was one of the worst Bonds in the history of Bonds. He's just too proper. He's not like the... I'm going to sound gay now. He's not the rugged, manly Bond that I like to see whenever I think of Bond, like Daniel Craig is now. And Casino Royale was phenomenal. I bought the movie 3 times now. I had the single disc, I have the double disc, and now I have the triple disc. I will continue to buy the movie every time they put it out with more features, just because it's such a great film.
By the way, quick question. I have the double disc. Is it worth to get the triple disc? Is it worth?
The triple disc is insane. It's a whole new packaging. The third disc has some really awesome bonus features on it. It's definitely worth, and it's like over here in the U.S. It's like $3 more than the double disc. So it's very, very worth it.
No, but like, for people who already have bought the double disc, do you think it's worth it to double the money again and buy the triple disc?
I would say I did it. I love DVDs, and I'm a super geek in that facet, but I definitely think it's worth it. One of my head editors, Travis, did the same thing whenever they put out the triple disc. He already had the double disc, and he doubled up and bought the triple disc as well. It's got some really great bonus features if you like the movie.
Yeah,
it's definitely worth it.
I have the triple disc, and it's great.
And they can send the check to my address for the big plug there. No, the Green Lantern is probably my least favorite comic book character, so I hope that he makes it interesting. I want to like it because, you know, comic book movies are every movie geek's, wet dream. So, I hope that he does well with it, and I'm interested to see where it's going. He's done a great job with the other movies he's done.
I'm sorry about this, Scott, but we just read this quote, this comment in the chat, Ustream user 81232. He says, Quantum of Solace is about as good as a dry hand job.
I really like Quantum of Solace, so I'm not a big fan of dry hand jobs, though.
With me.
I agreed with you. What is he talking about?
But you don't count.
Well, you're an Arsenal fan. You
exactly.
Chelsea drew with
Paul. Are you a fan of Green Lantern?
No, he just said he's not. He said it's his least favorite comic book character.
I think he was distracted by the dry hand job.
Oh, yes, I think that's what it is, too.
No, I'm not a fan of the Green Lantern. He's probably my least favorite comic book character, but... You know, maybe he'll change my mind. Maybe he'll make it so interesting that I'm like, oh, I got to go back and check out the Green Lantern. Now, I do own all 15 issues that Kevin Smith did of the Green Lantern. I've not read any of them, though.
I was about to ask you how they were, okay. All
right,
I only bought them because I'm such a Kevin Smith geek that I bought every one of them, and they just sit on my shelf collecting dust, but... I can say that I own them.
All right, I'm personally going to have to say, like, I find those kinds of things annoying. Like, when I hear stories of people who run out and buy things just because, like, especially comic books. I hear it best in comic books, where they buy these comic books, but they just, like, store them and wait for the writer to die so they can get $5 million from it or something, or they just never read it or whatever. Like, I mean, I've always loved comic books. I've never always invested in them. Recently, I've decided I'm going to try and get into them. I got Fables, 100 Bullets, and what was it? And 100 Preacher.
Bullets is not good, by the way.
I didn't really like the first volume of 100 Bullets, but whatever. And, like, it's the kind of thing where I feel like I should get it, I should read it, and pass it along. Like, even if it's that I give it to someone else to read for a day and they bring it back. Like, it's something that should be shared, not, like, just... collecting dust and be collected.
Yeah, but
stop coming. I made a mistake. Kevin Smith didn't do Green Lantern. He did Green Arrow.
Oh, Green Arrow. Oh. I see.
Whoa.
Wait, aren't they making a film about the Green Arrow as well?
They've been talking about
David
that, but...
Goya that's writing it. Right?
Yeah, they've been talking about that for over a year, but nothing's really happened with it.
Where's my Aquaman movie? Delving into shitty superheroes.
With Adrian Grenier starring?
Right. Yeah, with James Cameron directing.
That's right.
The Aquaman What's his psyche? Water boy?
No, I have to say, I've always been very, you know, hesitant about the Green Lantern because it's never the same guy. There are about 10 or 20 different Green Lanterns.
There's like a society of them where you get a ring.
You get a ring and then
you shoot green shit at people. The CG could be awesome, so they need to get a proper CG host to make this movie great.
And is Kamon still going to be the Green Lantern?
Please.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. And have him rap while flying through space.
Yes.
It'd be so bad it's good. Like that DBZ movie. They keep putting out trailers. I can't wait. This movie going to be so bad.
Alright, Damien, you stop.
Alright. I guess we can just say Martin Campbell is awesome and that's why we watch this movie.
What if he can't write superhero movies though?
He's a director. He doesn't have to write anything.
Right, but what I mean.
And by the way, Bond is done, kind of a superhero.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a ring up.
Yeah, no. I know what you're saying.
What if he can't go? Because he's always written these, directed these movies closer to reality. Even with Casino Royale and GoldenEye, they were, you know, kind of over the top, but not so like the others. So what if he can't do, like, truly over the top? Because if you're going to do a Green Lantern movie, I mean, a guy with a ring that grants you whatever power you want, that's going to be really over the top. What if he can't do that?
Well, then the movie will suck and we'll probably go anyway because, you know, it's a superhero movie, and then we'll cry about it on the way back home.
Yeah, okay. The last item I want to talk about today, right? Like, everyone knows we're in a time of recession. The economic...
Really?
No, we're not. No.
I've got money. I don't know what you people are itching about.
I just like to let you know you have to watch your back now when you go to work tonight.
Exactly. I have work. You guys got laid off. Sucks to be you.
One of the smaller special effects studios just closed shop this week. It was announced, The Orphanage. Now, not many people might know them by name, but these are the guys who did the special effects for films like Vanilla Sky, Hero, Sky Captain of the World Tomorrow, Hellboy, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, and At the World's End, as well as Superman Returns. So just based off of that, I think I'd call them a pretty well-rounded and good quality area for special effects.
You know what, though? It strikes me as if they were never the main guys. Like, for example, they said they did the heads-up display for Iron Man. And if you just did the heads-up display, I mean, there were a couple more effects in that movie, you know, other than the heads-up display. Just a few. So, I just think that it doesn't sound like they were this big thing anyway. I mean, yeah, clearly they did a lot of work, which was, you know, good because people kept coming back to them. But I don't know if they were ever, you know, like Industrial Lights and Magic.
Well, I don't think anyone is like Industrial Lights and Magic. I mean, when you have the backing of Steven Spielberg to start.
Plus, if these guys, let's say that these guys were like visionaries, like they could see.
Oh no, sorry, I meant George Lucas. I just made a mistake.
Yeah, we were going to fucking.
They could see, you know, visual effects that no one else could see, right? Now I'm sure these guys will be absorbed into one of the bigger visual effects companies. I'm sure that the people that were there, they won't just fall off the face of the earth. They won't become accountants.
Yeah, exactly. What's going to happen? Painters. What's going to happen is the people that lose their jobs are going to go to the bigger guys. Also, I mean, it's always going to be the small firm, the mom and pop up store that goes down first, as opposed to the big guys that have cash in hand.
Any thoughts, Scott?
I really hate to see anybody in the movie industry lose their job because of the economic times. Hopefully, here in the U.S., we won't have that problem with the economic times much longer as we have a new president now. But to see anybody having to close up shop or, you know, cut back on anything sucks, because it just makes our job that much harder. Not in the sense where we're not going to have as much to cover, but if everything becomes, you know, done by one company, it's going to get kind of boring after a while. You know, you're going to see me seeing the same thing. You know, you don't want a monopoly in the special effects area, and obviously there's not yet, but if people have to keep closing down, and yeah, it really just sucks for everybody involved. Competition breeds, you know, new things, and everybody pushing the limits, and whenever less people, especially the small guys, are gone, you know, they don't have to worry as much. They can start to relax and you know, maybe carry over some of the same special effects they did in a previous movie. But yeah, it's not good when anybody has to close down because of all the shit going on that our previous president left us with.
True that. So does anybody else have anything to say about The Orphanage?
I don't really think. I mean, I just shed a tear for people who have to lose their job for that kind of situation.
Alright, so let me get this straight. You're shedding a tear for The Orphanage series. And there's people at four.
I shed tears for them already. No, this is just a new tier.
Yeah, there was a Business Week article just the other day that said the U.S., there were 58,000, over 58,000 jobs lost in the first month of the year, in January. So it's, you know, it's not fun times. But anyway, I think we are about to wrap up our new section.
That's all we really have for news this week that I felt was interesting. All right, we're going to get into trailers. There are three trailers we want to talk about this week. And I want to start with what I think is the best of the lot. And it's the new Red Band trailer for Seth Rogen's newest film, Observe and Report. You can see it there in the chat now.
Hey, bitch!
I'm here with Ronnie Barnhart, one of the security guards here at the mall, who can hopefully...
You fucked up, ma'am. I'm the head of mall security. You should do that again and say it right.
It was horrible!
I'm Detective Harrison, Conway Police. We're gonna catch the guy that did this.
Ah! What?
It's clear that this pervert plans on coming back here murdering Brandy.
Oh my god! Is that gonna happen?
It's gonna happen.
No, it's not gonna happen.
You gon' pay.
Brandy. You're the only thing in this mall worth protecting.
Brandy, I have something important to talk to you about.
Do you have a boyfriend in your life?
Shots! Yeah!
Come on, bitch.
That burns so good.
You are so fucking gorgeous. Part of me thinks that this disgusting pervert is the best thing that ever happened to me. This is my chance to be great.
What have the police ever really done? Nothing good.
I'm in charge of this.
Dennis, you're my second in command. Ewens, you guys are my infantry. One of you dies, God gave me another one.
Okay, awesome. Okay.
I swear on my soul, I'm gonna catch this guy.
I know who did it.
Okay, who did it?
My dick is brown, you dumb motherfucker!
It's the law that puts me down.
Ewan, do you think it was my fault that Dad left?
How are you feeling?
At this point in my life, I just really feel like I could destroy some motherfuckers.
I believe every man has a path laid up before him. This has been a magical evening. My path is a righteous one.
I think I need a mint or something. My breath tastes like shit.
I accept you. I've been chosen. Be the protector.
Please don't tase me, man.
The world has no use for another scared man.
You suck this gun like a dick.
Right now, the world needs a fucking hero.
Oh, God, Brandy. Brandy.
Brandy?
Why are you stopping, motherfucker?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh God, I'm sorry.
And that was this year's Seth Rogen movie.
No, one of this year's Seth Rogen movies. There'll be many.
Alright, I have to say, this looks like the, first of all, the good version of Paul Blart that came on. And also, it looks like the Pineapple Express style filming all over again with Seth Rogen, and this time, who's the friend in this one? Pena?
Yeah, Michael Pena.
Michael Pena. This trailer looks awesome. I have to ask, does anyone know what the song is in the trailer? I've been searching for it, I can't figure it out.
No, but I'm sure we'll find it sometime soon.
If only there was somewhere on the internet that you could go and search for that kind of information.
Well, where is it? I know they closed down Ask Jeeves, so you can't go there. Where could you
go? It's House of the Rising Sun by the Animals.
Oh.
Awesome. And there, Scott has broken news. It's the Animals.
Probably was at the end of the trailer somewhere. Probably.
All right, so Scott, what did you think of this trailer?
I like the trailer. Seth Rogen really hasn't played. In the trailer, he seems like just like kind of like a really just somebody that's completely oblivious to everything. So I'm not sure how. Like, obviously we know that he could play that kind of character. I don't know how well I'm going to like him playing that kind of character. Because normally he's, like, the really, like, smart-ass, always, you know, chiming in. And typically pretty, you know, I don't want to say smart, but always right up there. It's supposed to be a dark comedy. So that's also something we're not used to him seeing him do. So I'm not... I'm stoked to see the movie. I'll be seeing it at South by Southwest in a month, and I'm really excited to see the movie. But with the Paul Blart recent thing, I'm kind of like, ugh, the mall cop. I don't know. I like the trailer though. I think the trailer looks pretty badass.
Yeah, the trailer looks hilarious. And I don't know. I'd watch it. Nothing much else that I'm going to see there other than, you know. Anna Faris is probably the most, you know, hilarious leading company right now, right, Andrew?
Tina Hasey.
No, I'm just joking. But it looks like, you know, one of the very few movies that she's in that I will like, so let's see.
I, for one, am tired of seeing Seth Rogen. But I'm probably going to watch this movie. The trailer looks awesome.
Yeah, I think I'm slightly tired of Seth Rogen, especially because it seems like he never changes. Right?
Like Michael.
Yeah, that dude needs to change and quick. So.
But you want him to do the movie, what's it called?
I do. No. Honestly, he has a good stream of movies coming in at the, like, now. After Arrested Development, though, because you have to do Arrested.
No, you don't.
Shut up.
And that's where his awkwardness began.
Then exactly. It comes full circle, so he can then move on with his life. And be, you know...
Less awkward.
Less awkward, yeah.
And more relatable as a person.
Much more relatable. Uh-huh.
Alright, so I'm hoping we can all agree. Go and see Observe and Report.
Yes.
Yeah, alright. Moving on to our second trailer. This is... a film that I don't really know much about, but it seems awesome from the trailer, so I feel like talking about it. It's this movie called Breaking Upwards.
Oh, yeah, right.
Listen, you can't use my Netflix queue.
Very funny, girl.
And we can't be on GChat anymore.
You're always on!
I'll fix that.
Monday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Are those off or on?
On.
3 days?
And Thursday.
I think I should be in therapy.
Your father should be in therapy.
Dad? Why?
Who he's that?
What's up? Sorry I'm late.
You have always been so codependent, Zoe, ever since you were a little child.
Who's that in the background?
Tomorrow's Tuesday, I'll talk to you then.
What's wrong with my pants?
They look like tiny girl stripper pants.
What are you doing?
neti pot daily, or at least every other day. Just
actually, I'm not asking. Clear. I'm taking you out for a drink.
Haven't you ever wanted to be with someone else?
We live in this, you know, monogamy-centrist culture that just reinforces all that fear mentality.
Are you going to want to know details?
No! Uh-uh!
Come on, he's cute.
You go talk to him if you think he looks so cute.
Looks like he had a good childhood. He was clean.
Is that your boyfriend?
No. Mm-mm. He's gay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I see that.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh, I'm afraid you had a lot to talk about. She looked really smart.
Well, actually, we did. She knew all about art.
She knows nothing!
I just want to know what he gives you that I don't give you.
He's not there all the fucking time.
I picked a color long ago to suit my tawdry tales of woe. And now it doesn't fit. My friend.
That was the trailer for Breaking Upwards. What did you guys think of it?
I thought it looked interesting. The girl looks like the receptionist from Becca. Do you remember her? She was in,
Becca.
Yeah, Becca. She was also in the first two Saw movies, which Andrew, for some reason, loved.
No. I only watched the first Saw movie, and that movie was good. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I thought movies would be crap, but I watched the first one, and it was awesome.
It was not.
But anyways, back
People
to Breaking
thought the
upwards.
Ring was awesome.
Exactly, and that wasn't either.
Back to Breaking Upwards. Like,
it reminds me of After Sex. I saw that movie like last year. That movie, as the name suggests, all its different relationships throughout the movie, but it picks up after they've had sex, and they're trying to, you know, sort out the relationship that they are having, and it's kind of like that from one couple's perspective. So I'd be curious to see how it turns out. This movie could either be really good or really, really bad. So I'm hoping that it's in the really good section. I like the trailer.
Yeah, I think this trailer is extremely interesting. Just based on the trailer, I want to watch the movie. Looks really good about this breakup thing, but also I saw the trailer, I think, on first showing, not 100% sure, and I read the article to go along with it where he said that the movie is actually about these two people, the leads in the trailer, that are orchestrating their own breakup. So I guess they are actually planning it. I don't understand, so I'm very confused, but still really want to watch it.
What do you think of this, Doc?
I think it's going to be a great movie. I don't want to say great movie. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be enjoyable. I hope it's going to be great. It's going to premiere at South by Southwest. So it's on my radar of ones that I definitely want to check out. Plus, it has Olivia Thirlby from Juno and the Whackness in it.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of hers.
I also love
and
Snow Angels. Did you see Snow Angels?
Yes, and Snow Angels as well. So I, based on those reasons, I think it should be a pretty good movie. It sounds like it has an awesome soundtrack too.
Yeah. So this seems to be a good week for trailers. We're 2 for 2 so far. I mean, I wonder if we can go all the way.
I think we might.
And this is a new film by three directors called Tokyo.
Okay, so I have to say that trailer looks great. It looks like the type of movie that I would love. The music was amazing. It reminds me of the Go Team. I don't know if that's them or not. Oh, wait, no, you know who it might be as well? The, you just talked to me about them, and I was making fun of you because you didn't know who they
were. Animal Collective?
The Animal Collective, yeah. But, I don't know. I guess I'll figure that out later because I have this thing called Google that I can use.
I have to say one thing about this trailer is it doesn't give you much. I mean, other than the names of the directors who people know from their previous work.
Oh, and did you notice that they did not mention Be Kind Rewind? I wonder why.
Like, I mean, the only reason this trailer would make me interested is because of the directors. And Michel Gondry alone is enough to get me in, even though Be Kind Rewind was such a huge disappointment.
I have no idea what this movie is about. But three directors, one movie. I just hope that at least one of the directors makes an interesting movie. I was trying to think of movies that had multiple directors, and you guys said Four Rooms.
Yeah, Four Rooms.
Was a big fan of that. But before The Dark Knight came out, there was Gotham Knight.
Yeah, Gotham
Knight.
Right,
and they had like 19 different
people. Yeah, and if you're going to count that, there's also The Animatrix.
Right, so right, I was going to bring up The Animatrix.
Paris, I love
I'm
you.
I was hoping that, you know, it's something akin to that, and at least one of them, one story about Tokyo, which is really, really vague. I mean, Tokyo... that says absolutely nothing.
Well,
to
well,
me about
one story has to do with a leprechaun coming from underneath the ground somehow.
But for all we know, that's a commercial that someone's watching on a TV. We don't have any idea what this movie is about. You can just hope for the best. All
right, and Scott, what did you think about it?
I have no idea what the movie's about either. I like the directors that are involved here, and. When they do multiple directors doing different takes on the story but combining them, I mean, a lot of times they wind up being pretty good, and especially when it's three very talented directors. So, you know, it looks pretty good. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'd like to know more about like what the story involves, but it looks good.
Okay. Do you think you'd head out to watch this movie at full price? Based off that trailer.
Yeah, I think that this will be one that I definitely check out.
Based on this trailer alone, because no, I have no clue what the movie's about. I mean, the fact that they played up the directors so much and not what the movie's about. If this were the only trailer that would have had me worried, I'm pretty sure they're going to come up with more promotional material, and hopefully that will, you know, win me over more. But if this was the only thing to go, I'd wait until people tell me that it's some awesome movie.
You know what though? I have to say that I would have to go to this movie and pay full price if only for the fact that Michel Gondry is one of the directors. I hated. But at the same time, I would still have to do anything that he does. Just for how much I love his other two big movies, and I haven't seen much else other than his music videos, but I would definitely.
I think I would watch this movie no matter what, just because Michel Gondry did it. However, at the same time, I think it disappoints me that the trailer doesn't explain anything, so I kind of worry about what the hell the movie is about. And I mean, I think I have to wait for something more. Maybe a couple good reviews, as Douglas said. Who knows?
Wait, sorry, what was that last thing you said?
I agree with you that that I need something more before it has me in the theater. This movie.
Oh no, but that's not what I said. I said it
no,
doesn't.
With you.
Oh, with Damien. Oh, yeah. Lame, Andrew, lame.
I mean, yes, I'd probably watch it anyway just because Michelle Gondry did it. But just for sheer recommendation, like, I want to know at least what the movie is.
Okay. And, like, that come from underneath the...
Alright, we're gonna get into our main review of the new DVD release, Nicanora's Infinite Playlist, and let's hear a clip from the trailer.
He's a sensitive musician.
I'm not going.
We have a gig, Nikki.
I don't want to go. I'm taking a mental health day.
Who's bad at relationships.
Hey, Tris, it's Nick.
I just wanted to talk to you. You know, I think we both said some things we didn't mean, like when you broke up with me on my B-day.
This is Nora.
Okay, everybody in.
She always plays by the rules.
You have to promise me that you won't get drunk tonight.
But tonight...
Nora! Alone again?
I came here with someone.
Who?
She's going to break them.
Would you be my boyfriend for 5 minutes?
What?
Please, just go with it, okay?
Nick! Nora! How do you guys, like, know each other?
We're the same dentist.
Yeah, he's good.
Are you Triss's Nick?
I gotta get my friend home.
We'll take the drunk mess home.
What?
You two go have fun.
If you touch one hair on her head, I will kill all of you!
Nora, I'm being hairy!
Oh, she'll be okay.
You off duty?
This isn't a cab.
Are you off duty?
It's not a cab, my friend, I promise you.
Yeah.
It's not a cab. I'm not a cab.
I love you so much, it's retarded.
Okay, last stop.
What about you?
8:50. Charged a little extra for the cleanup.
Alright, okay. It seems that we have officially lost Scott from WeAreMovieGeeks.com. So I'll just give him his fine. Like, I'll just say... Anyone who wants to should head over to WeAreMovieGeeks.com. It's a wonderful site. Check it out.
A wonderful-looking site, too.
It really is. Ads don't kill you.
Yes! God damn, First Showing and their ads.
No, First Showing isn't the one you hate.
No. I hate First Showing now as well. Because, you know what? Slash Film is annoying because the ad's in the middle. But at least when I hover over a flipping thing that looks like a link... A huge window does not, like, invade my space and punch me in the face. What the hell, Alex Billington?
I'd just like to let you know, by just naming the site gives it some form of advertising and you're helping the site that you hate.
I don't care. I don't hate the site. I'm not being 100% literal. It's clearly one of the few movie sites that I follow, okay? And I've told you before that it's one of my favorites in terms of... the way they disseminate their content and the way the site looks. But it's just annoying because it was one of my favorites in terms of those two things, and now it's come up with this huge pop-up ad business that has now dropped its profile in my view.
Okay, well...
Note our review.
Yeah. Check out WeAreMovieGeeks.com. Now to review Nicanora's Infinite Playlist. Yeah, thanks, Scott. Alright, Damien, since it seems that you have
for the past episodes
of the podcast, you have made your hatred for Sarah known. Go.
Alright, so for anyone that saw the trailer, you know, it's a romantic comedy type movie. I don't know what the director was aiming for entirely with this movie. He was trying to bring two people from different worlds together or something, but it didn't really work out because the two main characters are for the most part unrelatable. Michael Cera, no one can relate to him. That is, and he plays the same character again. He had an ex-girlfriend who I've never met anybody that horrible. Like, she's just
you
the worst.
Have not talked to any teenagers at all.
She's
ever.
Just the worst human being.
They're all like that. It's so bad.
I was once a teenager.
But you were not a teenage girl, man. Those,
right.
Hey.
But I've spoken to teenage girls before, and none of them were as... I mean, she's just a horrible, horrible person. I mean...
Are we talking about Nora?
No, Nora. The ex-girlfriend.
The ex-girlfriend. Okay,
she's
fine.
Just, yeah, what's her name? Tris or something,
right,
like
she's
that.
She's just,
yeah,
atrocious. She's just so terrible. It's, I mean, and he's so awkward. I don't see how they got together in the first place. And then this, you know, for the rest of the movie, it's Michael's here trying to get over her and trying to, you know, find out reasons why he likes Nora. And... like, none of it, please. I mean, I don't get the sense that any of this would have actually happened if you put these people in any of these scenarios. The one thing that I do like about this movie, though, is their depiction of gay men.
What?
Michael Cera has some gay friends in this movie, and they are awesome. And Nora's girlfriend, Nora's friend, that they are trying to escort from one section. That was the only truly funny part of the movie. But everything else in this movie, I think, failed. I mean, this, you know, getting them the right place, right time, anything can happen in New York. We've seen it done better many, many times. And the two lead characters in this movie are... in my view, so unrelatable that, I mean, it just doesn't work. Not for me, anyway.
And Douglas is fiddling with his iPhone.
Yes, I'm sorry. You know what it was? I'm looking for the name of an actor who I love and yet do not know his name.
Are you talking about the Asian guy,
yes,
who was
Aaron
in...
Yu, right? I was asked... because, I know, but okay. Damien's spiel about Sarah's friend got me into remembering that he was in this movie, and I love him, so points for that to the movie. I understand what Damien is saying. I mean, Michael Cera is playing his usual awkward self, right? Which I actually don't mind. I think that's a good spiel to run with, but yes, it's going to get tired very soon. I actually... I think the movie wasn't that bad. I think it was an okay movie. It was a fun little movie to watch. I mean, it's clearly not an Oscar-winning film or something like that. But if you don't have anything to do, or even if you do have something to do, if you watch this movie, you're going to be entertained. It's, you know, Michael Cera is awkward just getting over his last girlfriend. And by just getting over, I mean he hasn't gotten over yet and will never get over
she
her.
She might as well be the devil.
Exactly. He's still making mixtapes, crying, you know, on the CD, all of that good stuff. And he meets Nora by accident and, you know, all of that kind of thing.
And of course, Nora knows the ex-girlfriend.
Yes, and Nora not only knows the ex-girlfriend,
but
hates
her.
She knows about the boyfriend but doesn't realize that it's him and loves him. All sorts of foolishness. But that's, you know, the typical type of movie. Actually,
it is
formulaic. It reminds me of a little bit of a mix between one of those 80s One Crazy Night type movie. You know, something like Blind Date, or is that name of a movie with Ethan Hawke? I think it's Blind Date. And also like just a romantic comedy one night type movie like Dazed and Confused. So in that, it works because those movies did well. I actually, can I tell you one of my...
By the way, was it Mystery Date you're talking about?
What's that?
Mystery Date?
Mystery Date, thank you. Yeah, Mystery
and that
Date.
Was 1991.
Yeah, but it was early enough to look like an 80s movie and feel like an 80s.
Because Blind Date was the one with Bruce Willis.
Yeah, the one with Bruce Willis, quite right. But, and I've lost my trail of thought here because you stopped me.
You were saying that this movie was good.
It's okay. I would watch it again if it was on TV, or if maybe, you know, somebody around me was watching it.
You're a liar.
I honestly would. I would. And it entertained me. And I can't remember what I was going to say. I'm sure it was something extremely intelligent. But Andrew can now talk about his views.
I like this movie. I didn't love it. I didn't think it was the best thing in the world, kind of like Douglas. But I liked it. I mean, I like I mean, as much as we hate on Michael Cera for doing the same thing, I still like it, just like Seth Rogen. I hate on him for doing the same thing every time, but I still like it, right? As well as Kat Dennings as Nora. I liked her in this movie. I liked her in Charlie Bartlett last year.
She played a better character in that one, but in this one, she's just kind of there. She had her ex-boyfriend was in the movie too, and every time he was on screen, right, it's just like all the people that were Nicanor were such jokes. They weren't real people. They were characters. I mean, they were just such complete jokes.
You're talking about Jay Baruchel, right?
Jay Baruchel.
Yeah, it's the first movie I've seen him in a while that I actually hated him.
Oh, well, no, but you don't hate him because he's bad. You hate him because he's a hateable character, exactly. You know?
And I mean,
I actually thought he did well. He did what he was supposed to do, you know.
So like, they're like the only two innocent, loving people in the entire city, and everybody else are complete jackasses. And they magically find themselves together, and the movie is just lame. I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing at all special about this movie. I don't know.
Alright, yeah, like I was saying, Jay Baruchel, yeah, I guess I have to agree with you then. I wasn't thinking that well. Yeah, he did act well, and it's an actor that I've been looking out for recently since he's been in Knocked Up, Tropic Thunder.
He's in a new movie, Real Time.
Real Time? What's
it?
Yeah, isn't he also in Fanboys?
Yeah, he's in Fanboys, but we're not going to see that anytime soon.
Oh, really? Yeah, no, we're not.
Real time looks really good. You should look up that trailer.
Okay, and I mean, I remember listening to an interview with him, and he was talking about why he does certain movies over others. And it was one of the reasons that I think is the best reason an actor could ever give, which is that he only does movies that he thinks himself he'd be interested in watching. Which generally just makes me realize that you just should look out for movies that he's in. Because if those movies that he's interested in watching are the caliber of Knocked Up and Tropic Thunder, bring them to me every day of the week. There was also a couple other things I'd like to mention. First of all, there was a Wire actor in this movie. I found it so hilarious. Because I've been rewatching The Wire recently to see Rawls. Not Rawls, it's... I can't remember his name now. I feel so stupid.
Oh yeah, he was in the... he's the commissioner.
The commissioner for the early seasons.
He was the receptionist at the bus station. Yeah.
Yeah, the bus station. It was just fun after sitting down and watching 3 hours of The Wire and popping in Nick and Nora to see this guy and just laugh at the fact that he's there. Anything else I don't think I can really comment on. I think you guys have covered everything. But the other thing that was great about this movie was the soundtrack.
Yes, I do agree. The soundtrack was very decent.
For a movie called Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, they picked some of the best songs to listen
to. By the way, did you notice in the starting credits, the beginning credits, they had all these names of, you know, indie type artists. I saw Modest Mouse there just because I remember that just because it's one of the biggest bands that they had in there. And they had that kind of list. So I don't know if those guys were actually in the soundtrack, but that was an interesting little tidbit, as well as the fact that I really like this guy, Devendra Banhart, is on the soundtrack.
Yes,
and he's amazing.
It introduced me to Devendra Banhart, who is awesome.
I didn't even realize he was on it. Andrew had to tell me one day. He's like, "Have you ever heard of this Devendra Banhart person?" And again, I made fun of him because I have known him for like three or four years.
As we're talking about music, a lot of the music are selected tracks, soundtrack tracks, but there's one original song.
Oh, Vampire Weekend! Right. Awesome! I didn't realize they were in this!
I'm trying to say something here. There's one original track, and it's done by one of the most interesting composers who's been doing like
Mark Mothersbaugh. I remember looking at in the beginning of the credits and it said music by Mark Mothersbaugh, and I said this is awesome. he did the tracks for Steve Zissou, and that was great. I believe he did Rushmore as well.
Yes, he did Rushmore.
I think, did he do the Royal Tenenbaums? Is he just like one of those Wes Anderson lackeys, just like Jason Schwartzman?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was amazing.
Dare you call the man a lackey?
He's a lackey. Jason Schwartzman is a lackey. Owen Wilson is a lackey. I can't say Ben Stiller yet. He's only been in...
Yeah. but yeah, and I mean, there are also other bands which have been introduced through here. I mean, there was Vampire Weekend, who I knew already because you mentioned him when we watched that movie, the Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Bishop Allen, that song is awesome. There's the Submarines. There's We Are Scientists. I mean,
oh yeah, those guys apparently are great. I mean, all the concerts, they have people that go dressed up as scientists and all sorts of shit like that.
I mean, when I look down this soundtrack, I want to just look up every artist's discography and find every song they've ever made.
So this movie was like Notorious.
Except instead of reminiscing during the movie listening to Biggie, I was being introduced. Which I don't know which one I'd rather.
I prefer being introduced because then you get more stuff as opposed to reminiscing and thinking, damn it, I'll never have any more. You know?
I mean, like, other than that, I don't think there's much else to comment on this movie. Is there anything else you guys like to say about it? What did you think? I mean, you haven't said much. What do you think of the soundtrack?
That's a thumbs up, by the way. For those of you strange people who cannot see when there is no video.
Through the radio.
All right? You guys keep doing it. Every time I do that, you guys say, you guys lean over and say, Damien did a thumbs up. I know that it doesn't play on the radio. This is the reason I do it. I do it so that you guys can see and then I'll say something. If I feel necessary to say something, I'll say something. Stop.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that you didn't feel I didn't realize that you didn't feel it necessary to answer a question that was posed to you.
Alright. There's one thing that I'd like to bring up when I saw this movie. The friends, the gay friends, they reminded me to start watching The L Word, which is awesome.
What? That has to please. Sarcasm, and tell me.
No,
sarcasm.
No, no.
Have you ever watched that show properly?
I have.
Yes, okay. I watched one episode for 5 minutes, and within that time, somebody had taken coke, overdosed, got raped, and found their sugar mama's house on the beach. What the hell?
Right. I own the past 6 seasons.
This is me walking out.
But that's not what I'm trying to get to.
You know,
right? The reason I like The L Word is because of the dynamic. Shut up. The reason I like it is because the dynamic relationships that all these women have, which is what was severely missing.
Ass, right?
Right. Which was what's that's the dynamic relationship and Pam Grier's ass are both missing from Milk, which is why I didn't like the movie.
Wait, what? I see a note down here. Andrew's writing a note about 24. What is he writing a note about 24 about?
I'd like to tell you, if you want to critique David
exactly
about the L Word,
exactly.
You like,
you have to shoot yourself in the face.
Like 24 and Terminator.
Do you watch Lost?
I don't watch Lost.
Right. So that is the point that I'm trying to get. I was trying to get to before Douglas repeatedly interrupted me. The reason I didn't like Milk was because the relationships between these people were non-existent. Right? This is what The L Word has, which is why I enjoy watching The L Word. That and, of course, Pam Grier's ass as Douglas. Despite she being,
56 years old. And very large.
Yes. And that...
But this is more...
Right, that's what that... Right.
Oh. All right, this
podcast has to end.
Yeah, so all right, we're tapering off way too far for our usual tastes.
No, we're not tapering off.
I can't wait until
we're being effervescent now.
I can't wait until whatever movie wins the at the Oscars, and I can hold them side by side between it and The Dark Knight and go, there's no fucking way this movie is better than The Dark Knight. No, are you honestly, people crazy?
Honestly, I love The Dark Knight. I think it was one of my personal favorite movies for a long time, but...
No shit.
No, honestly... Is it really that big a deal that it didn't get best picture? I mean, was it really the best picture? I have not watched a lot of these movies that got nominated. Have you? Have you watched every single movie?
Yes.
Okay.
At right. this point, no, I've seen all.
Though, I'm pretty sure that most of those movies are really good in terms of, like, you know, directing, acting, story, all of that stuff put together, which make it better than The Dark Knight.
Listen to me. You're now doing what Andrew is doing.
What's that?
He's trying to make excuses for why the movie shouldn't be. Like, don't make excuses for the fact that the movie was the best movie of last year.
I'm sure you know the movie was the reader
is in no way, shape, or form the best movie of last year. There's no Benjamin Button. I love that movie.
Benjamin Button was crap.
And it is better.
No, I wouldn't say it's crap.
And it is better than The Reader, and also not best picture.
It's better than The Reader.
It is better than The Reader.
I did not think
that's all well and good.
Great, man.
Revolutionary Road, great, great movie. No, listen to me. There's no way a movie came out last year. The only movie that I would have been kind of sort of willing to, that all of us have seen, would have been Let the Right One In. And cannot be The Dark Knight.
For official statement, the films that have been nominated by the Academy, for Best
Right
Picture are... The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
No.
Frost Nixon.
No.
Milk. The Reader. And Slumdog Millionaire.
If Frost Nixon
Whoa,
wins...
Whoa, I've only not watched two now.
Exactly.
Yes!
Academy, listen to me.
I have seen all of those.
If Frost Nixon wins, I'm going to punch Andrew in the face. Really, really hard.
Academy, please make Frost Nixon win. I want to see this.
I'm going to say it from now. Like, I mean, I wanted to save our Oscars predictions and discussions for the day before.
No, but this is just best picture. You know? We don't have to talk about anything else.
I think that Slumdog will win it, even though they won the Golden Globe. But I would love, and I know you're going to smack me in the face for this, for Milk to win it out of that lot.
You're a sad, sad individual.
All right, out of that lot, which one did you pick? You see, you're having a hard time.
Wow. Probably Slumdog. I'd have to go with Slumdog. But again, those aren't the best movies. The Right One In is better than all of those movies.
Agreed.
The Dark Knight, bitches.
Agreed.
And Quid Pro Quo, which you guys
still haven't watched.
Yeah,
watch the movie, damn it.
Watch it. Okay.
All right. I'm gonna cut it here. Like,
why? Why? Let's keep talking. We're having a nice conversation.
We'll do this off air. That's the end of episode 6 of the Unnamed Movie Podcast. If you'd like to get us, you can get us at unnamed@gmanreviews.com. You can find all episodes at gmanreviews.com. And I'd like to thank, once again, Scott from We Are Movie Geeks for joining us. Sorry that he had to leave on such short notice, but hey, it was still awesome talking to you. And that's it. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
This is Vibes Cartel representing the Lost Movie Podcast.
We have not plugged Twitter.
Oh, you want to plug Twitter?
You have to do it every night now.
Okay, all right. You can find Scott's Twitter is twitter.com/moviegeeks. I'm twitter.com/gmanreviews.
And I'm twitter.com/DJIlostHisLateName. Sorry, Damon's messing with my mic. But I'm at twitter.com/DJIlostHisName. Okay, so I guess that's it for tonight. And
twitter.com/vibescartel.
Yes, so Damian is at twitter.com/vibescartel. That is VYBEZ or Z, depending on which country you're in. KARTELL.
I'm going to make another code for you and start posting.